Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
In association with Viatel Technology Group, IT leaders breathe easy with Viatel Managed Cybersecurity. Viatel.com.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll take a closer look at the new phones launched by Honor. We'll have the gaming news roundup, and as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. There is plenty of news from the world of gaming. Some exciting titles are being launched in the next wee while. We're going to get to that in just a quick second. But I want to start with Honor, because John Reilly was with me a few weeks ago talking about two phones from the brand. And it's a brand that I hadn't known much about, to be completely honest, until a few weeks ago. We reviewed their foldable phone and one of their more affordable phones. But John is back with me now because we have two new phones. And again, they're kind of in that mid-tier price bracket. John, how are you?
Good, Jess. How are you?
I'm great. You were at the launch of Honor. The last time you were on the show, as I said a second ago, you were talking about Honor phones, and we have some new models.
Yes, so I guess it's like you're waiting for buses. You want some competition in the Irish market, and here you have Honor coming in with yet another pair of devices now. So they've got their kind of their numbers range, I think it's called. So this is, we last spoke about their folding range and their magic range. So this is now the numbered range. I could be wrong about that, but this is the new Honor 200 and Honor 200 Pro. For me, I personally like how simple this naming scheme is. It's literally 200 or 200 Pro. And these phones were launched earlier in the week in Paris at a kind of a big glitzy event. And luckily I was over there to attend the launch. And yeah, they're coming in around the mid-range, upper mid-range, kind of starting at 650 for the 200. And then you're going up to €800 for the Pro model. So there is a couple of variances in the in kind of justifying that price change. But it's really focused. These new handsets are really all about the portrait photography. And I know a lot of phones and basically every phone nowadays has a portrait mode in the camera setting, but Honor here have doubled down on this. They've partnered up with a Paris-based profile or for portrait studio called Studio Harcourt. No connection to Harcourt Street here in Dublin, but these guys have been doing like incredibly famous celebrity portraits for decades now, and they've kind of teamed up with them to give this new Honor phone specific filters and editing, and AI has been implemented to kind of make sure the picture, these portrait photos that you capture with these phones are some of the best you're going to see on any smartphone. And I have to say, like, they really do kind of impress when you do see them for real or in real life. Yeah.
Yeah, I was following your coverage online, and obviously I've read your thoughts and feelings on theeffect.net, and it really reminded me of the old Huawei launches where the emphasis was placed on how good the Leica lens was inside those phones, and I suppose just the spec and how much heavy lifting that the device does for you, so you don't have to have a degree in photography to take a good picture. What were the talking points? Like, what was the presentation very photography focused?
It was just like the AI didn't come up as much as I thought in a good way, because obviously we saw the Apple event while I was watching it, and they calling it Apple Intelligence, but they just kind of showcased the amount of innovation and kind of research they've done behind the scenes. Like, I think they said like 1 million photos or 100,000 photos or black and white photos or shadows and light, they were saying, were analyzed and are being implemented to make sure that every time this phone takes one of these portrait photos, it kind of analyzes it to make sure it's as impressive as it can be. They kind of tweak the contrast, the white balance, and a few other things to make it really pop. And then I think what really makes these stand out is the bokeh effect, kind of, which is kind of the blurred background. You know, phones have been kind of falsifying this fake blurred background for years now, some better than others. Some of them look very digitally altered, but this one really kind of gives you the impression of a proper DSLR or proper professional camera has captured some of these shots. They've got some really natural kind of fall off, as they call it, in terms of like from the foreground to the background, and it just gets that kind of really soft, subtle blurring effect. So that really was the kind of the main topic or theme of this presentation at the event. They had a spokesperson, her name escapes me unfortunately, from Studio Harcourt, just kind of discussing just how significant a partnership this is, and it wasn't just lip service, that they really did collaborate quite closely And I think it's going to really kind of stand to them. Like, that's interesting. You'd mentioned it reminded you of the Huawei days, because this is kind of what I'm seeing with the this, especially this Honor device, this Honor 200 and even the 200 Pro reminded me a lot of the P20 Pro, which I know you loved. And I think everyone that had it adored it. It was leagues ahead when it came to the camera. So I got that same sense at this launch that we're kind of looking at a phone that could really put Honor into, you know, the top tiers of people's considerations, and like that kind of brand awareness that they really need to kind of start to kind of build here in Ireland and kind of in Western Europe in general, because they're big in China and they're kind of really getting a foothold here in Western Europe. And yeah, this one could be the one that really gets does a lot of heavy lifting.
So just talk me through, because I'm looking at the pictures that you have up on the effect.net, and the camera, the lens placement on the back, the cutout is kind of Easter egg shaped rather than in a neat little circle. Does lens placement, obviously it matters in some capacity, but talk me through the lenses, what we have and why they're laid out the way they are.
Yeah, so at the presentation, they actually spoke about that particular design. And yeah, kind of like an oval slash, like you said, an egg shape. It's quite unique in its own right. And again, no one really cares what way the cameras are done. But they commented that it was designed after, there's a famous building in Barcelona, I think they mentioned. And they took a photo of its kind of inner square or inner kind of courtyard. And they took a photo looking up out of the courtyard. And it was the exact same kind of shape that they wanted to kind of replicate for just this street, this kind of like continuous oval circle kind of shape. I think it looks nice, and I don't think the cameras necessarily are put into a specific orientation to ensure that, you know, they're going to play work to the best of their ability. I think they kind of mentioned that they do obviously when they were developing this software to make sure the portraits were being captured as best as possible to create that nice blurred background, they're aware of the distances between, say, the ultra wide lens and the main lens, and then they can kind of calculate kind of what depth should be between the person in the foreground and then the background behind them. So there is a lot of kind of AI calculations being done behind the scenes, but in general, it's different from other, you know, you've got your Pixel bar, you've got your obviously iPhone with our big triple circles or double circles, and Samsung have their kind of three dots down the side or on the ultra phones. So this is kind of different in its own right. And yeah, I think I think the photos you see on the effect.net are the Pro model, and they come with this really almost like marble like finish. It's like a satin glass finish, and it looks like a piece of kind of brushed marble, which is very premium looking for the €800 price point. So it kind of sits up nicely against the likes of the latest Samsung. If anything, it's more stylish, because I think the latest Samsungs and even a lot of the other, like the iPhones, don't have this kind of effect per se on their devices to make you kind of stand out from the crowd. So yeah, they put a lot of work into the exterior design for the device.
Yeah, and let's move away from the cameras for a second, talk about the other spec on the sheet. So I see here that the 200 has a 6.7-inch screen and the Pro is 6.78. So just a slight difference.
Yeah. So there's it's a kind of negligible difference there, and they're kind of the same resolution, both OLED panels, which is good. And then the batteries then are pretty much like they're good 5200 milliamp hours. So that's a good size. We're used to seeing kind of 5000. What did I say? 5200 milliamp. Yeah. So these are just that bit more battery packed in for to get you that bit more longevity out of the device. Obviously up front, you've got those displays that kind of go up to about 4000 nits. Again, that's just peak brightness, meaning that you're going to have no problem using these devices out in kind of bright daylight or sunlight. They can go really nice and bright. Other internal differences then with the 200, the non-Pro model, you've got the Snapdragon 7 Gen 3, which is slightly, well, most people won't notice, but just that little less powerful, whereas the Pro model has the Snapdragon 8S Gen 3. So it's kind of not the top tier Snapdragon model at the moment, but it's just that it's a couple of steps down, but it really helps to, the S, I think, kind of benefit the AI implementations that are kind of being used across the device, and specifically with the different camera modes we kind of discussed earlier. But yeah, as I said, there's about €150 in the difference. And just for that bit extra, you get just that bit more power. You get wireless charging, fast wireless charging on the Pro model. And the selfie camera, there's an additional selfie camera on the front of the Pro model, a little 2 megapixel one that lets to get kind of just those wider group shots or group selfies. I won't say that groupy term, it's an awful word. But so there's like most people might be totally fine with the obviously just the non-pro model for 650, and you're going to get all the cameras are pretty much identical, which is great to see. And as I said, the screens are basically the same size, so you're not really losing out on much. But if you put that extra bit of money in, you can get the kind of the nicer, more premium finish, for want of a better term, on the back, and along with a couple of spec boot bumps internally as well.
Okay, so first impressions, I'm getting good sort of vibes from it. We will do a full review of these phones when they land on the desk here, but this is the killer question, right? Will you move over to this as your full-time phone?
It's early days, because I got the handset earlier in the week, and then that's like a political answer. I didn't answer your question, but it really is. I'm kind of still getting used to it and kind of playing around with it and seeing kind of the different features. Like we're used to Honor already with the different devices we reviewed, but this one really has a camera that makes me go, wow, okay, this could become my daily go-to phone, because it's such a premium feeling phone in the hand, and it's so capable with its processor and the cameras that, it's definitely going to be a people pleaser when it comes to the Irish market in July.
Okay, I cannot wait to play around with it and see, because I think that is the ultimate test, is if you and I, who are, heavy duty users of all of our technology, if we were to shimmy across, would it keep up the pace? Before I let you go, I mentioned the last time you were on that we're going to come back to some gaming news, and there was a big gaming press conference last week, I want to say.
Yeah, there was a couple. It was kind of like an absolute monsoon of press events. So PlayStation kicked things off on the 30th of May, and then we quickly went into what was Summer Games Fest, which is kind of a catch-all event. Moving then into Xbox just last weekend on last Sunday. The 9th of June, and then we had Ubisoft kind of wrapped up things on the 10th of June. And there was some big announcements. Nothing earth shattering. I think looking on Twitter, Xbox stole the shows, kind of came out on top as the best one. They just kind of were back to back kind of big titles, kind of reveals, launch dates, teaser trailers, all that good stuff. Like, because summer is usually a quiet period for game launches because people are out and about and going on holidays, and we're kind of quickly hurtling into the Christmas period. I said the C word and I apologize. I know, sorry, it's June. There's some really lovely titles coming, some great ones. Astro Bot, listeners that have a PS5 would have got this Astro's Playroom for free. It was on all PS5s when they originally launched in 2020. We're kind of getting a spiritual successor. It's supposed to be fantastic from the people that have played it at this Summer Games Fest event. So that's going to be a big hit. We've got Call of Duty Black Ops 6. Yet another installation in the Call of Duty franchise. And because Microsoft have bought Activision, the parent company of Call of Duty, fans of the title are going to get it on Xbox Game Pass. We've spoke about this service before. You pay €15 a month, you get like over 100 games to download, to stream in the cloud, whatever it may be. There's cheaper packages, but the Game Pass Ultimate package is £15 a month, and it's incredible value for money, especially coming into Christmas. You're getting Call of Duty, the brand new Call of Duty is going to be put on there day one, along with a whole lump of other titles that were announced this summer, and kind of their release dates were kind of teased at and revealed. So we've got Indiana Jones game coming straight, and it's going to be day one on Game Pass, so I'm very excited. Finally then there's a brand new Batman game coming to the Quest 3, so you can't play it anywhere else. You're going to have to, if you're not a fan of meta, unfortunately, but you want to play this new Batman VR game, you're going to have to pick yourself up a Quest 3 VR headset. There's a brand new standalone Batman game coming to it called Batman Arkham Shadow. I'm very excited for this. It's coming out later this year. We haven't actually seen official gameplay. We saw what was called a pre-rendered trailer for its story and the kind of who the villain is going to be, but I'm really looking forward to see some gameplay at Gamescom in Germany now in August, and that's something I'm definitely excited for as well.
Okay, you mentioned the Quest. Do you have one of those?
I did. I picked one up there earlier in the year. When was it? Maybe March time. It launched last October, and I just never got around to kind of picking it. I was waiting for a lot of more kind of dedicated titles to come to it, so I did pick one up. Big fan of it, not just for gaming. You can use it for productivity, as much as you look like a bit of a you can wirelessly stream your Windows laptop to it. You can do multitasking on it in terms of multiple screens, and they keep continuously updating the software or the operating system to give you more functionality. So I think Meta are onto a good one with this. Like it's significant update every time they update it, and then these kind of exclusive titles get me really excited for what's to come in the future too.
Okay, so if somebody hasn't contemplated it, like, is now a good time to buy it? Because, like, is there sufficient titles, I suppose, to get the value from it?
Well, there's a huge swathe of titles, but as of right now, in terms of dedicated titles, just using the sheer horsepower of the new Quest 3 over the Quest 2, we're still quite limited. See, the Quest 3 will give you kind of that bump in resolution for whatever kind of developers have updated their games to get to use the horsepower of the new processing power of the Quest 3. You can get much, much improved graphics because the Quest 2 was definitely showing its age at the end of its life cycle because it really is just a mobile phone with, you know, strapped to your head because it's wireless. You're not connecting up to an external PC or PS5 like the VR headsets available for those devices. This is all done on the device. But I still think now with this Batman title coming, there's also an Alien title coming, a scary horror title also coming exclusively to the Quest 3, because it can't, there's just too much processing power needed that the Quest 2 just couldn't run it. So those two titles are really going to start to showcase what this can do as a gaming device. And as I said, I can't wait. So for me, obviously, I'm always going to buy the newest piece of tech. But for your listeners that are kind of just thinking of kind of jumping into that VR kind of space, I think you can't go wrong because not only, as I said, the titles are coming, but just the usability, the operating system is constantly being updated, and just for all the other features you can use in it, I think it's going to get better and better as it develops, and we're not even a year in yet.
Mm. We have spoken many times about the diversification, I suppose, for want of a better phrase, of the gaming industry, because before it was just Xbox and PlayStation. They were the two big guys in town. But obviously we've got Nintendo devices, we have mobile gaming, we have PC gaming, and now we have VR gaming. Is this a good thing for the gamer, or does it mean now that you are going to have multiple ecosystems to get the titles that you want?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. See, it's option and choice is always better for competition. But then, yeah, to your point that people are starting to what would you call it, gatekeep the content to make sure that you have to go to their platform to purchase. So like, as you know, with this Batman game, say you're going to have to pick up a Meta Quest. It's not going to be on the PSVR 2. It's not going to be on PC. If you want to play it in VR, you got to have a Meta device. So they're paying big bucks to get these exclusivity deals. So it is a bit of a hindrance to gamers, but then it's also good to see them focus on furthering that specific genre. In terms of VR, it's great to see the industry continually evolving. But then, you know, with the likes of Xbox and PlayStation, they're all buying up these gaming studios. Like I said, with Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard for $69 billion, which it would be like, that's so they can kind of capture all of their content, all of their IPs, all of the titles and games they already develop, and make sure they're kind of play best, in inverted commas, or easily accessible on the Xbox platforms. But the likes of Call of Duty now is almost too big a beast to even keep it close to the Xbox ecosystem. And I think we spoke about this before in the show, that the, you know, competition regulators were like, no, Microsoft, you can't have that much control over such an incredibly popular title. You're going to have to sign a deal to make sure Call of Duty in particular is available on other platforms, so gamers aren't left out in the cold if you're on your PlayStation and then saying you wouldn't be able to play the new Call of Duty. You have to buy a new piece of hardware because of this acquisition. That's not happening. So that's good to see also. So the competition guys are stepping in to support, to protect consumers from this kind of happening, to your point. So people aren't going to get too priced out or kind of frozen out of these kind of big kind of mergers and acquisitions happening in the background.
Mm. Well, look, it's never a dull moment in the world of gaming. There's always something going on. We will, like, I know you mentioned the C word, I'm reluctant to mention the C word, but as that approaches, we'll obviously have plenty of reviews and recommendations. If there's something in particular you want us to play or test out, drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com and we will do it. For the moment, John Riley, editor of TheEffect.net, thank you so much.
Cheers, Jess.
Now, coming up next here on News Talk, we'll take a closer look at Apple Intelligence. Stay tuned.